Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Tariff threats and a shrinking labor force are putting downward pressure on stocks and the economy. The S&P 500 is trading at 22 times the forward 12-month earnings per share target, which is predicting an increase of 13% in earnings. The problem here is that the 10-year average PE ratio is just 18 times earnings per share, which in of itself is historically very high. But we're at 22. And the 13% increase in earnings in the next 12 months is extremely optimistic. It assumes that earnings can grow 13% in a world where nominal GDP growth should only be around 4%, 2% inflation or so, and 2% real growth. It also assumes that Washington, D.C. can extend the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which would otherwise amount to a $4.5 trillion tax hike if they can't get it done. Then again, if it does get done, and I think it will, this would only equate to an extension of the existing tax rates. Thus, it would not be a significant boost to the economy. And it also assumes that the significant tariffs imposed that are needed to pass such a tax cut extension would not have any adverse effect on GDP growth. Likewise, any retaliatory tariffs would be innocuous as well. Those are the assumptions. However, even if all this works out perfectly, the point is that the current valuation of equities has already priced in perfection in both earnings growth and valuations. But in reality, economic growth is, as I said, clearly already slowing. I don't just say that. I prove it. And this is occurring at the same time inflation is proving to be sticky, at least for the time being. The Philadelphia Fed prices paid component showed that February inflation is at the highest rate since October 2022. And this is before any of the inflationary effects from tariffs kicks in. So far, the U.S. has imposed just a 10% tariff increase on China. President Trump paused the 25% duties on Mexico and Canada and has only proposed reciprocal tariffs on all countries. Also, there remains the promise of 25% tariffs on autos, pharmaceuticals, computer chips, steel, and aluminum. We believe tariff hikes do not equate to a commensurate increase in prices, but they do increase economic friction, just as they also certainly do not lead to falling prices. We will know much more about the tariff situation next week as the 30-day suspension of those 25% impositions on Mexico and Canada expire. The consumer research firm WalletHub's economic index decreased by around 13% between February 2024 and February 2025. This means consumers are less confident about their financial outlook this month than they were at the same time last year. Here are some other key findings. The share of consumers who expect to buy a car in the next 6 months is almost 23% lower in February 2025 compared to last year. Home buying interest among consumers decreased by over 21% compared to last year, which is hard to do because demand was already in the toilet. Consumers' likelihood of making a large purchase in the next 6 months is almost 17% lower than last year. And consumers' optimism about whether their finances will improve in the next 6 months decreased by roughly 9% compared to last year. This is not cause for any extreme alarm. That's not what I'm saying this for. Not yet. But it clearly shows that inflation has hampered most consumers, the level of inflation has hampered most consumers' ability to continue their pace of spending, just as their willingness and or ability to take on more debt is diminishing. The Atlanta Fed GDP Now forecast for Q1 GDP growth has crashed from its initial estimate of almost 4% growth to just 2.3%. U.S. flash services PMI fell into contraction in February, falling from 52.8 in January to 49.7. This is very significant as it shows the services sector of the economy, its largest sector, is now in recession. It's now contracting. In other data, the University of Michigan's February consumer confidence index fell to 64.7 versus the estimate of 67.8. February's consumer confidence was down 10% from the January reading. Meanwhile, inflation expectations in the same survey increased by the most since May of 2021. More evidence of my prediction of a faltering real estate market is arriving daily. Inventory's at a five-year high, and the days on market to sell a home is also at a five-year high. Existing home sales fell to 4.08 million units versus the estimate of 4.13 million. That is down 4.9% month over month. New home sales for January came in at 657,000 units at an annual rate. The estimate was for 680,000 units. New home sales fell 10.5% month on month, while the estimate was for a much smaller 2.6 decline. Home builder Toll Brothers stock fell 10% this week. In fact, the home builder ETF ITB is down 4% year to date and has fallen 23% over the past 3 months. I wonder what that is telling us about the housing market. Weakening GDP growth with slightly higher inflation has been the scenario the IDEC model predicted. That is the current situation. But now the model is signaling a rising possibility of a sharper decline in economic growth with a shift from reflation to disinflation later this year. The longer-term policies of Donald Trump should be very beneficial for the economy and markets in the long term. However, in the short term, slashing government spending is a depressant to growth because under the Biden administration, government spending was the leading impetus for growth. In fact, according to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, over 70% of all the jobs created under the Biden administration were government-related jobs. And those jobs are not only no longer being created, but they're being canceled. So short-term, that's a big negative. Long-term, great news. A quick note on debt and deficits. The CBO projects the $2 trillion deficit for fiscal 2025 will grow to $2.5 trillion by 2035, and today's $36 trillion debt will grow to $60 trillion in the next decade. That assumes the business cycle has been canceled and no recession ever happens over the next decade, and inflation averages just 2%, a figure so low that has been unachievable for the past 4 years. It also assumes the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires at the end of this year and taxes increase dramatically. Allowing the CBO to guesstimate, or more accurately, stated hope to mate, that the benchmark treasury yield averages just 3.8% over the 10-year horizon, which is well below today's 4.5 level, is absurd. The only way the 10-year note yield averages 3.8% is if the economy falls into a pit in the next decade for some period of time in those 10 years. While that is highly likely to occur, it also means revenue to the treasury will be greatly reduced and debt and deficits will skyrocket. So you can forget about the 10-year average of 3.8%. It's going to be much higher. Warren Buffett has been aggressively selling stocks and raising cash. Berkshire Hathaway, his company, has the highest cash as a percentage of assets ever. Half of his assets are temporarily parked in cash. We here at Penta Portfolio Strategies share a similar investment strategy. High-yielding short-term treasury bills are prudent and very safe way to invest with a significant weighting of your portfolio for the moment, not forever, for the moment. The inflation deflation economic cycle model has us net long the defensive sectors by 20% with no straight equity shorts in the portfolio. This strategy is paying off as the NASDAQ is up less than 1% and the S&P 500 is up just about 1% this year, whereas the equal weight S&P 500 is up about 3%. And value and defensive sectors are faring much better than the overcrowded Mag 7 stocks, where stocks such as NVIDIA is down 15% since its January high, and Tesla is down 37% from its December high. That's a lot of pain in that once-beloved sector. And of course, I said this was going to happen. Crowded sectors, overcrowded sectors, narrow stock markets always crash. This is not going to be the exception to the rule. It's going to be something for history to show, once again, that very crowded, narrow stock markets are unhealthy. and they always correct. So to recap and to conclude, growth is slowing, but the chances of an imminent recession are low at this time, and asset prices are fully valued. We remain cautiously long with buffers and hedges in the portfolio. The next significant move, which is, in my view, 10-20% in either direction, should be to the downside. We will rely on our model for the time to short.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.